Good morning. There's only one person in this chapel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I'm pleased to be back here at Union University. Indeed, I count Union University as a friend in the common vocation of advancing the gospel in the world today, but also friends here in terms of people on this campus. I want to particularly greet you, President Dockery and Dr. Guthrie, for taking a second chance in inviting me back here at Union University. I did say to President Dockery, I must not have done a terrible job last time if I'm invited back. I want to confess this in front of you. President Dockery and I share a common restlessness about time. And he did say to me not to worry too much about time. It's 10:23. This clock is actually right in my face. And and we are supposed to end at 10:45. And what I have here in front of me, I can curtail it, but I thought since he gave me permission to not worry too much about time, I will not worry too much, but I will try to end around 10:50, 10:51, thereabout. And for this special chapel on this beautiful spring day here in Jackson, Tennessee, I want to express my gratitude to God for being here to speak to us the Word of God. On this Culture Fest Chapel. And I'm also very pleased that many languages were spoken beside the English language. And for those of you who are visiting here this morning, it is it's a wonderful privilege to be to look at the possibility of being in a school like this one here in these United States at this particular time in human history. I have chosen to speak on the text that is part of what chapel is about this semester, this in this university, and I've chosen to title my message "Trusting God in Troubled Times." One wonders: has there ever been a time in human history when it's not possible to call that time troubled times? But in this particular time in human history, I think that we are more aware because of the communication, more aware of troubles all around us, whether it's in our own land or around the world. On this particular day, when we focus our attention beyond the United States in this university, as we think and hear news elsewhere around the world, it's particularly fitting, I think, to think again about trusting God in troubled times. Let me introduce it this way, then I'll read the two texts in front of us after the introduction, and then I'll just say a few words and the time will have gone. We've all heard this, if not ourselves, but we heard a version of it. It's a sure thing. Trust me. These words have caused misery and untold ruin for many a human being in history. In our age, this is no exception. Many people have been taken because they've trusted a person who said to them, "Trust me, it's a sure thing." Whether you look at Wall Street, Main Street, in political life, especially at this season of political life in the U.S., "Trust me, it's a sure thing." Really? Really? It's in this context that it is important to look again at what we see in Psalm 119 in particular, but throughout the entire Bible, in effect, that we need to trust and trust only the one who is trustworthy throughout all human history, namely God himself. God and his word, these are the sure guide for us, as always, but especially in these uncertain times. So let us read God's word, or hear it, if you didn't bring a text with you this morning. It's Psalm 119, beginning in verse 101 and ending in verse 106. Then John 6:58 and 59. Verse 101, beginning in Psalm 119. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not run aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn on oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. And then in John's Gospel, 6, only verses 58 and 59. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these in the synagogues as he taught at Capernaum. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This is what I want to do and the time that we have in front of us. First, I want to set Psalm 119 in context. Then I want to focus on verses 105 and 106 and then draw a few remarks at the end. First of all, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm song in the Psalter. I'm saying this in particular because all of these things, especially if you are here and you are not a major in biblical and theological studies, you need to get some sense of how it fits in Scripture. This is written the psalm is written, at least in the Hebrew, in a way that will facilitate memorization and internalization, because every section of the Psalter begins with a different Hebrew alphabet. Therefore, it's easier to kind of take in. It brings out, this particular psalm, many, many qualities of God's word, God's Torah, his guidance for us. Verse 105 in particular, that some have called the summary of the teaching, is there in front of us. That's the first thing. When you think of Psalm 119, it is meant to be kept as a thing that should help you, guide you on a daily basis. Second thing is that Psalm 119 is in the section of the Psalter that is titled Book 5. It is the closing section of the Psalter in the Bible, beginning with Psalm 107. It, therefore, Psalm 119 fittingly focuses on God's word. For you see, this is how the Psalter opened in Psalm 1 in particular. If you look at Psalm 1, how the Psalter opens, it opens with attention to God's word in verses 1 to 3. As we read it here, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So Psalm 119 fittingly comes back to the importance of God's word for guidance, for surety in guidance. This is the second thing. But you see, besides Psalm 1, there are many other references in the Psalter to the importance of God's word. I want to mention only three of them, and then we will continue. For instance, in Psalm 18, verses 28 and 30, we read the following. It is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness, for by you I can run against a troop and by my God, I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Then particularly in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we read significant emphasis on God's word as we have it here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping them, there is great reward. Then Psalm 112, verses 1 through 4, especially verses 1 and 4. Verse 1, blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandment. Then verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. In the context of all of this, we come to Psalm 119, because all of these psalms, here and there in the Psalter, call attention to the word of God, his statutes, for guidance, for surety in guidance, for the word of God and its importance for us as we seek to walk in ways that are trustworthy. Fourthly, the many references to lamp, light, and guidance come together in Psalm 119 in the verses that we read this morning, especially in the section beginning in verse 97 and concluding in verse 112 in Psalm 119, and more specifically, verses 105 and 106. Here I want to highlight just a couple of things in the section from verse 97 to 112. Because I think, first of all, that this section, verse 97 to 112, must be read in conjunction with the opening stanza of Psalm 119. And the opening stanza of Psalm 119 is as we have it here. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. So as we read the section of the Psalter, Psalm 119 that we read, we must read it first in the context of the opening section of this particular psalm. And also echoes of Psalm 1, as I just read this morning. The second thing is that in this particular section, reference is to a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I think that even this generation sings songs about the word of God being lamp. But I don't think that we fully realize what it means that this reference actually means. We live here, we have no clue what a lamp is. This is floodlights on my face. A lamp is an old-fashioned oil lamp with limited light. It's not floodlight. It's not a laser beam. I grew up studying with a kerosene lamp, kerosene hurricane lamp. I have no idea if you even understand what that means. Limited light. you can only see here. You cannot see beyond. A lamp is that. The closest thing to a lamp, at least in this current generation, may be a flashlight. Limited light. That word, your word, is a lamp to my feet. It's limited. It only lightens where you go. But there's a reason for this emphasis. Just wait, just wait. Just be awake for one more minute. But it says, secondly, the word of God is a light for my path. Again, path. It's a narrow path. It's not a highway with multiple lanes. Yes, even brightly lit highway. A path is a way on which you walk step by step. Perhaps if you've been camping, you may come to visualize what a path may mean, where you can only walk one person at a time. The word of God is lamp to my feet on a narrow path. Only one step at a time, while there's darkness all around. In my own childhood, I remember many, many times when I was much younger, traveling from town to town with my parents. When darkness comes, and we have not reached yet the village where we're supposed to reach, and where the path is actually as I described it, and sometimes there was moonlight, sometimes there was not, and you can only see faintly in front of you, and you go step by step, and you are guided by the person in front of you. This is the vision I have in my mind when I think the word of God being lamp to my feet, light to my path. When darkness is all around you, you can only go, you can only trust the light that is in front of you one step at a time. This is a focus on the world beyond us in this particular chapel. So I thought I would quote at least one stanza of a hymn in French. Why not? Because some people talk other languages that from here. And the hymn is from a French hymn writer by the name of Robert Science. Science is S-A-L-L-E-N-S of the 20th century, early part of the 20th century. This is what he says about the word of God. Don't worry, I'll attempt a translation in English, I think. Douce clarté, dans la nuit qui m'enserre, dirige-moi. Brille à mes pieds, je ne demande pas à voir de loin, guide-moi pas à pas. Now, what does this actually mean? It means this. Sweet light, in the night that surrounds me, guide me. Shine at my feet. I do not ask to see far. Guide me step by step. The word of God is serene light, letting us see one step at a time. Not very far. We all want to see far. We all want to see far. But God wants us to trust him step by step. You know, this kind of trusting requires continued personal faith and trust in God, as indeed envisioned in the motto of this university, Religio et Eruditio. Latin is good, right? Religion and scholarship or erudition. Religion must be buttressed by personal, continued faith and trust in God. Without that, religion, yes, the Christian religion is worthless. Let us be guided, continuously guided by the kind of faith that is envisioned here in Psalm 119. We need to actually cultivate that faith. Otherwise, it will not happen. Because we are surrounded by all kinds of things that make it almost impossible for us to cultivate that faith. For instance, in our current situation, we live with the perils of our way of living history. As one person has said it, we live with a mentalization of experience which gives rise to the possibility of narrating our past and premeditating our future and fictionalizing our present. Premeditating our future. You can summarize it by, we plan our life. And when we plan our life, there is almost no place for God's guidance in that planned life. This kind of planning of life is vividly captured in a movie that I'm not sure that, looking at your faces here, that you even know what it is. It's a 1958 movie, The Inn of the Six Happiness. One of the few Hollywood movies that actually is more or less neutral on missionaries. Most of the time, they are not neutral. Let me just leave it at that. The Inn of the Six Happiness is the true story of an English woman by the name of Gladys Aylward, who in the 1930s wanted to be a missionary in China with the Church Missionary Society. And when she applied to the CMS, the Church Missionary Society, the society decided that she was not qualified, or that she lacked, quote, proper qualification for such an appointment. But undeterred, she determined to find her way to China, which she did. And there she worked in a remote village and eventually worked in an inn for a local ruler, a Mandarin, by the name of Shen Chang. In one of the conversations between Ms. Elwood and the Mandarin, the Mandarin says to her, and this is the punchline, a life that is planned is a closed life. It can be endured, perhaps, but it cannot be lived. Let me repeat that. A life that is planned is a closed life. It can be endured, perhaps, but it cannot be lived. You see, God wants us to live life. He did not give us a closed life. Faith actually opens the possibility for us to live life, not to plan it for ourselves and close it. He wants us not to endure a closed life, but to live. This requires faith. Requires faith. Continued faith as we have it. I'm almost done. It's 10:45. In about 2-3 minutes, I'll be done. So don't worry. I'll make good on my promises here. Just a minute. You see, it requires faith. Requires faith. Continued faith. Two things about faith, though, that I want to leave with you. One is a statement from Martin Luther, the reformer, that he wrote in his introduction to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, written in 1522. And this is what he says in that introduction to the letter to the Romans. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all his creatures. Faith, a living, bold trust in God's grace. This is what is required. What I want to paint before you is that when you read, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, it's an invitation to the kind of faith that is bold, trusting God, even though there is uncertainty all around us. The last person that I want to quote from regarding faith is a person who wrote in 2003, her name is Diana Eck, who reminds us that the Latin word credo, I believe, means quite literally, I give my heart. And she says, believe indeed comes to us from the old English beloved, making clear that this too is meant to be heart language, to say I believe in Jesus Christ, for instance, is not to subscribe to an uncertain proposition. It is a confession of commitment, of love. Do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he can be trusted? If you say so, you're actually saying, not only do I believe intellectually, I actually trust him. I love him. He loves me. And he will guide me no matter what. He will guide me. He will guide me. So, as we leave this chapel, let us walk with God today, tomorrow, with full confidence in him and in his word. For his word is lamp to our feet, his light to our path, is worth trusting. Let us lean on him in times of fear, when darkness overtakes. Let us trust him in his word. He is the surest guide. He is the surest guide. Let us pray. Indeed, your word is a lamp to our feet today. Calm our fears. Let us rest in you. Let us trust in you. For you are worth trusting in times of trouble. Help us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.